Happy Tuesday, Cleveland. We still await LeBron's decision, but everybody feels like we're getting closer. Is it tonight? Is it tomorrow? Does it happen Thursday during the day? Does he actually wait until he's live on a podcast? Those are the questions that we continue to ask ourselves. The MLB All-Star break, Home Run Derby last night. We'll talk about that later in the show. All-Star game on tonight. We'll talk about that coming up here at the end of the 7 o'clock hour. And things slowed around about the Browns and good rankings popping up for one individual Browns player. So a lot to cover in 4 hours to do it. Jake Vollmick with you guys here from 7 to 11. We have Michael Bohm running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020 Student Work Behind the Glass. Michael Markoch with us tonight. And I do want to start with, obviously, the entirety of the LeBron waiting decision. We've been covering this for a while, but it just feels like when we talk about the prediction markets and everybody trying to get their claim, and we have seen a dramatic shift from where this thing started as it has gone on, and it just depends on the day. And it feels like, I mean, over the weekend, we had Miami taking a massive step forward, and now that LeBron's back from Puerto Rico, and it's being reported that he talked to Draymond, now the Warriors are climbing right back into the mix. And it's interesting. Like, Brett Siegel had it down to, hey, it really feels like it's, you know, pretty much down to the Cavs and Warriors. Okay, well, I don't know what happened to Philly, and I don't know what happened to Miami in that case, but it just feels like everybody can't find a place to agree, and that's really where I get entirely, not even confused, because it just means that nothing's happening. Like, I know how it's becoming, but I'm just like, why are we in a spot right now where everything is so dramatically quiet that we don't even get the slightest of inkling of not even where you're going, but where you're not going, or what teams are still relatively in the mix? Because I mentioned Brett Siegel basically has it down to the Warriors and Cavs, and then Shams Charania this morning on ESPN, kind of dwindled down to who he sees it between.
My understanding is right now, as we speak, LeBron James has the information that's needed to make a decision. It's decision time right now for LeBron James. Team presidents, GMs, they're all talking to Rich Paul here again this week. They've made all their pitches. LeBron James has listened to multiple voice notes delivered to him by Rich Paul from other owners and presidents from teams that are trying to give him their best pitch. And the feel is that those five teams remain in the mix, but a focus on Cleveland, Miami, and Philadelphia. The reason that this is taking so long and why he's able to take his time is this is not a money-driven decision. So you have teams that are offering him minimum deals, exceptions, some salary cap space as well. So he's able to take his time and sift through this decision. But this could be really any day, any week now.
So again, you kind of hear it, maybe not down to just Cleveland, Miami, and Philly, but that really does feel like the focal point from Shams. And here we are again, kind of in this confusing, nobody has the exact same stories type of pathway that we're on right now. And I do just get confused how we get here. But the Warriors is the interesting one to me, because I think today on the prediction markets, the Cavs were somewhere near a coin flip at almost 50%, and the Warriors had climbed, I mean, just shy of 40%. It was about 35%, I believe, is what I saw. So it's a pretty dramatic shift. And I think this is the point where it's the one I get confused on. And where the Warriors actually line up and make sense for him is where I get confused. And I understand we have the reports that, you know, obviously we know Draymond pitched him to come to Golden State. Draymond himself talked about that on his podcast. But I just don't really know what the draw is and what LeBron is so hung up on, or what we think LeBron might be hung up on when it comes to Golden State and why it's back in the mix, why people think he's going to go there, because that is the one team in all of this that, again, I take them seriously because I really don't know what's going through LeBron's mind, but if I'm LeBron trying to make a decision, I just really don't understand the appeal outside of, hey, I'm going to play in California and I've always wanted to team up with Steph. Like, from a public perception move, I think some of the NBA will be really interested to see how this goes down, but I think a lot of the people who are either Cavs fans or diehard LeBron fans are going to be really puzzled and really confused. Like, that just doesn't add up for your legacy. That doesn't add up for what makes sense for you and helping you in the eye of the public. The public is not going to be very happy with a move to Golden State. I don't think your basketball career in still attempting to win. Rich Paul can say he's not ring chasing. I believe it. You're not going to New York. You're not going to OKC. You're not going to San Antonio. But I'd still think you want to be competitive and have a chance to win a ring. I think everybody basically agrees that's not happening in Golden State. They just should not be, even though they are, a legitimate contender in this situation. It is a team that is deeply flawed. I mean, you want to talk about the Cavs not having a good bench. Let's talk about Golden State not having a good bench. And again, you're teaming up with, I mean, even if they held their entire team in place, the names are what sound really attractive. I think in actuality, when you compare them to teams like Philadelphia and you compare them to teams like Cleveland, and even to some degree comparing them to a team like Miami, it's basically all name value. You're just creating a team that would have been great probably in like 2018, because you're pairing Jimmy Butler and Kristaps Porzingis with Steph and Draymond. Like, it just does not seem like it lines up in the greatest way for me. And I understand that maybe there's a little bit of a longer shelf life on guys like, you know, Steph and Draymond, but it's still not a fantastic shelf life. It's still, we've seen Steph go through injuries, you know, in the last couple of years. We know Draymond's not nearly as productive as he used to be. We know that LeBron's going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting when it comes to that team. Like, when we talk about, hey, do you want the ability to take a step back during the regular season, prioritize your health and being not only healthy, but being rested for the time the playoffs get around and trying to make a deep playoff run? You know, Cleveland gives you the opportunity to do that because Cleveland is a bona fide playoff team with or without you. Now, again, it's the difference between potential title contender and what might just be the fifth best team in the Eastern Conference. But it's a team who has shown, yeah, we're going to make the playoffs whether or not LeBron is here. And again, the loss of Dean Wade and Keon Ellis is not the thing that's changing that. It might help hurt you in the long run and what you're able to accomplish in the playoffs, but it's not stopping you from getting there. The Cavs are going to the playoffs one way or another, so you would be able to take a rest. You go and play for Philly, the way that team is loaded, the way that team is stacked, you will be able to take a rest. We are talking about a Golden State team that is, I mean, like a borderline play-in team in the West. LeBron has to do a lot. He's going to have to take a lot onto his plate in order to make that work. And it is the one decision that I think in its entirety, I just have a tough time wrapping my head around. Right? Cleveland makes sense for, in my eyes, basketball, but also, you know, on the forefront of storybook ending and what makes the most sense from, like, legitimately, if I was writing a book on this, LeBron would come back home and finish his career there. Miami makes sense from, I only gave you 4 years. Maybe LeBron feels like Miami got cheated out of that and maybe deserved a little bit more, despite all the things that were going down at the time. Even going to Philly, I think you can make a strong case that is my best basketball fit in order to go play where this team has the best chance to win if everything is about winning for me. I can make all of that and make it make sense. LeBron at age 41 just being like, hey, let's basically get the band back together and just ride this out and be able to stay in California is where, that's where I draw my questions of how much does winning really matter to you at this point in your career? And if winning doesn't mean that much to you, if legitimately going out and trying to win a title and being on a team that you think is capable of doing it, if that's not top of your priority list, there's no question LeBron is capable of playing basketball. There's no question that he's capable of making a lot of money playing basketball and that he is still a top 20 player in the league. But where so many of my questions come in is, I thought that when LeBron had gotten to that point in his career, that was where LeBron would say, yeah, I'm good, I'm done, I don't want to do this anymore. When I stop caring about winning, when I stop caring about trying to compete for a championship, is when I know it's time to hang them up. So I don't think I'm going to be able to really reel my brain around a Golden State decision if that's what we end up getting. If he goes and decides it's time to play for the Warriors, it's time to team up with Steph, like, again, I'm not going to be mad at LeBron. I've said this from the beginning. I stick true to it. LeBron has earned the right to make whatever decision it is that he wants to make. And I'm not going to be upset by it. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to sit here and understand it either. I just don't know what would possess you to want to play in a Warriors uniform. Want to, if anything, diminish the years that you spent in Cleveland the very second time fighting to try to win titles, trying to get over the idea of, you know, losing to Steph, losing to Draymond, losing to Klay all those times. I can't wrap my head around why you think that is going to paint you in a good light, why you think that makes anybody happy, and how that legitimately makes you happy. How you feel like that's the next step in your career, I just won't get it, and I want to know if you guys do. 216-474-0092. Are the Warriors a legitimate threat, and are you able to wrap your head around a LeBron decision to Golden State if that's the one he makes? Plus, you guys can get to us on X at Vulnik Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys. We are going to talk a little bit about the All-Star game before it kicks off, so we're going to get to that coming up at 7:40, meaning the station buzz is going to be pushed back, but that's coming your way at 8 o'clock. The most pressing things said by our station's guests today. We're going to get to Get a Grip coming up at 9, as we always do. Plus, we're going to get into a lot of the further Cavs discussions. We're going to talk about the Browns, one player in particular who deserved or who earned a really good ranking among his peers today. And, of course, it is a Tuesday, and that means it is a Blind Tier Tuesday. We'll get Michael and Michael into the mix in the 10 o'clock hour for that as well. But right now, 216-474-0092. Are the Warriors a legitimate threat, and would you be able to make sense of the decision if it's the one LeBron makes? As well as your guys' calls coming up here in 5 minutes, what criteria do you feel like the Cavs are actually at the biggest disadvantage in? We'll break it all down right here on Overtime with Jake Vulnik, with the guys until 11 on The Fan. Jake Vulnik with the guys here on Overtime, asking you at 216-474-0092. Do you feel like the Warriors are a legitimate threat at this point? And could you wrap your head around that decision if LeBron makes it? I still would consider them a legitimate threat, even though I can't wrap my head around it. I don't know what would make LeBron make that decision. Like, I can point to the factors, but I don't know how that's ultimately the factors that went out. But I still wouldn't be somebody that sits there and rules them out. If he's sitting there meeting with Draymond, playing golf in Puerto Rico, he's clearly considering it. He knew Draymond was going to talk basketball. He knew Draymond was going to talk Golden State when he went there. He was willing to take the trip. He was willing to take it into consideration. So I very clearly think there's something to it. But this is where it goes into the criteria portion of all of this. Right? Like, I hear some of the things that people talk about when it comes to, oh, the Cavs are going to be a good basketball fit. That team's not going to win. One of the people on top of that was Iman Shumpert, continuously just going over and over again. That's not a team built for winning. If LeBron wants to win, he's not going to choose Cleveland. It's like, one, you know that you played with LeBron, but you did also win a title here. I don't know. Might not be the worst thing to act like it. And I don't know, try to support the fan base and support the team in which you won a title with. That I think still supports Iman Shumpert pretty highly. I don't know about the organization, obviously, with a lot of things that we heard during the Knicks finals run. I don't know how much they invite him back or anything else like that, but I would say he's still well-respected by the fan base. Don't know that I'd just be, I mean, appreciate the honest response. I also don't know how it's an honest response, because I think when it comes to the basketball side of this, this is not where I would consider the Cavs at a disadvantage criteria-wise. They've legitimately gone farther than any of the other teams in the last, like, 2 years of the competitors that we're talking about. Miami has been a playoff disappointment. Philly has been a playoff, I mean, mostly disappointment. I get they beat the Celtics this year, but is an overall collective whole over the last couple of years, they have been a pretty big disappointment. Golden State has barely found a way to even scratch the surface of the playoffs. You want to talk about winning, and I give all my respect to Philly for what they've been able to build and what they're trying to accomplish out there. I think what you're trying to build towards winning, the Cavs probably have most playoff experience of these teams that we're talking about, especially as a unit. And we're talking about a team that has gone the farthest in the playoffs. That's not even much of a question for me. I think you win that one out no matter what. I think obviously you win out the, hey, do you want to go home? Do you want to be comfortable in the place that you're playing kind of battle? The storybook battle. You win out all on those. It really is difficult for me. Like, hey, if LeBron really cares about playing in weather, which everything in his career so far hasn't really pointed us down that direction, I don't think he really cares about having winters while he plays a sport that's going on in the winter. But also, I mean, realistically, if LeBron struggles with having to go to an indoor gym while it's snowing outside, LeBron's got bigger problems, bigger fish to fry. I don't think that's really going to be a thing that stops him from playing somewhere. But sure, that's one where you lose out. Brian Windhorst was on the Hoop Collective talking a little bit about what LeBron's process has been throughout this recently. And I do wonder if it's one of the Cavs' areas of weakness in all of it.
There is a dearth of information on this. People in the league are all talking to each other, trying to find out what LeBron is thinking. There's not a lot of information. A whole bunch of NBA owners were up at the Sun Valley media conference last week, and they were chatting, and some of the owners who are trying to get LeBron were talking to each other, and they were like, hey, have you heard anything? Nope. Have you heard anything? Nope. What, you know, LeBron is reaching out and talking to players on some of these teams. And then, you know, they report back to their GM or their coach like, hey, LeBron called. Well, what did you think?
So I do wonder if that's an area where I kind of just think where the Cavs line up in it. Because I try to think through a lot of these spots. We know he's talking to Draymond. We know him and Giannis are friends. They're talking. And it leaves you down to this Philly and Cleveland. Which guy are you actually in connection with? What guys are you talking to? And I would imagine when we talk about Philly, there's a decent shot he's talking to Tyrese Maxey, also represented by Clutch Sports. So he has a connection there. You just turn to Cleveland and you go, I mean, I think he has a respect for James Harden and a respect for Donovan Mitchell. I don't know that those guys are really friends. Right? This is the battle you might be losing when it comes to not just players I want to play with, but players that I know and players that I can reach out to and have a connection with. If this is basically all LeBron is speaking to, and from the information that we have, it feels like this is the only direct conversation that LeBron is having. I'm not even doubting the idea that you've talked to Donovan or you've talked to James Harden. The way Kenny Atkinson that we played yesterday was talking about it kind of over the weekend sure made it sound like there was somebody had reached out. He's talking about LeBron and the free agency things, and it at least sounds like he's somewhat, you know, clued in that they have a shot. So that's either through the front office or through one of the star players that are actively trying to recruit him. So yeah, you still might be getting the conversation, but I would say out of guys that you have the best relationship built with, somehow, some way, you might actually be talking about two of the players that you're not all that close with. Like, Donovan idolized LeBron as he was growing up and getting ready to get into the NBA. And James Harden has been here, but I don't know that that's a connection that I would deem all that close. It's not like James Harden was on the banana boat crew. He wasn't a part of that entire process. It feels like even though he was in that range of a lot of the guys that were, you know, age-wise kind of with that group, he always kind of seemed like he was on the outside looking in and never really invited to that kind of stuff. Never within the inner friend group. Not even really within the outer friend group. So you just don't have that great of a connection. And I don't know if that legitimately sways you in one way or another if you're LeBron. I would think it's one of those things that I point to is I don't know it's a negative. I don't know that LeBron's saying, well, I'm not good friends with Donovan or I'm not good friends with James Harden, so I'm not going to play there. But having a close connection to LeBron on that player-to-player basis is probably something that gives you a slight leg up. It can't hurt, right? It's not going to give you any sort of disadvantage to have people represented by the agency or people that you have previously played with and have good relationships with. It's going to give the boost. Again, being able to sit down and talk about things and have a real face-to-face, I mean, human-to-human interaction with guys like Draymond Green, it is only going to put them in a better position to end up landing LeBron, even if it ultimately doesn't end up being them. Even if it doesn't get him there, it is only going to draw them closer. So I do think this is probably an area that is up in the mix for that. It's something that, you know, if we're talking about disadvantages that the Cavs have, this is one of the disadvantages that I would point to is you're just not going to be leading in that department. That is going to be places where they have a leg up on you. The other side of this is how many of these places has LeBron won a title with? Answer is two. Most recently of the teams he's considering, he won one with the Cavs. Okay, if this is LeBron trying to go out and do something different, if that's where your head is at, and you want to, I think Philly makes a compelling case off of they haven't won anything in a long time, right? Dating all the way back to the 70s or early 80s. So you have to go back and basically reach into the time machine and say, hey, I can essentially break another curse in the NBA the same way I did in Cleveland, and I'd probably get a lot of respect and a lot of love for that. If that's something that weighs on LeBron, you're losing that battle as well. He's already done that for you. He's already gone through and delivered on his promise. I just the only other thing that stands in my mind is criteria. And it's not even really a criteria or factor that you're going to lose out on. It is just the idea, do I actually go play for the same team three times? Right. And when we talk about this idea of public perception, we have heard countless analysts, countless reporters talk about the fact, and I mean, podcasters, anybody go through and just talk about the idea. This is a boring move for them. If LeBron decides to join Cleveland, which, by the way, is the one positive or the one constant that is sitting there between all of the reports. Some people say Cleveland and Golden State. Some people say Cleveland, Miami, and Philly. But between all of this, Cleveland is the constant that he's not leaving. But it is also the one that I think so many of the personalities point to and say, that doesn't do anything for me. Like, I've already seen this with LeBron. I've seen him go back to Cleveland. He's already written this page in his story. Why doesn't he turn a new chapter or a new leaf and try something completely different? And we talk about the way that LeBron's perceived, and we think he cares, and we think he pays attention to it. That's another side of this, too. Is I don't think anybody's going to blame you for going back to Cleveland, but I do think that it's the one area where people are going to probably be the least interested if you end up going back to. Right? The national media, obviously you will be unconditionally loved. The fan base will be forever grateful, but I think when we talk about the national media, it'll just be the eyes follow LeBron as the eyes follow LeBron. There will be nothing additional to this. Yeah, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to have opportunities to make runs. But I don't know that anybody is all that excited nationally to go watch LeBron go back and play in Cleveland. Because again, they've seen this story. They've already seen this part of his career play out. As nice as a storybook is, sometimes a storybook ending is predictable. It is boring and people don't want to see it. But I want to hear from you guys. 216-474-0092. What criteria do you think are the Cavs at the biggest disadvantage? Let's go to the phone. Our friend Eric is in Cam's Corner. What's going on, Eric?
What's up, Jay? Hey, listen, I don't know. I don't think the Cavaliers really have a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. I just think this is a slow cycle. And not only is LeBron James dragging this out, but it's just talk. Like, the Cavs roster, you know, especially the top four, is you got four all-stars. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's past, present, or future, you got four all-stars. You know, you got four guys that can legitimately play. I'm not going to trust Joel Embiid's health. You know, Tyrese Maxey is a phenomenal player, and they do have the same agency, but I don't know necessarily if they're friends, right?
Right.
And you talk about respect and adulation. The Laker fans don't honor LeBron James in the fashion which they do Kobe Bryant or Magic Johnson. So I think that's out the window, too. I honestly think that this decision is going to come down to LeBron James' wife and his daughter, and where they want to live at for the next couple years. And so I still think the Cavaliers are in the front, and Miami got some more team building to do, some roster building to do, so I'm not sure about them either. You know, Draymond Green got a big mouth, and everybody know it. He going to say anything else out of it. So I don't believe nothing he say no way. I'm still thinking the Cavs are in the driver's seat as it relates to obtaining LeBron James.
I would be in the exact same spot, Eric, and I appreciate the call as always. I mean, listen, I'm in the exact same location of think that the Cavs are still in the front runner. Like, I'm not any more worried today than I have been over the course of the last, like, two or so weeks. But it is just this oddity of, you know, I don't know how to really go through. Because you say anything comes down to, you know, Savannah and then going through and his family and basically where they want to live. I think when you chalk it up to those type of things, though, if I had to take a guess, where they want to live is probably where they have been living, right? It's like I've had no indication that they don't like being out in L.A., and he's already ruled out that factor. And if anything, where they want to live, I would imagine it would be, hey, keep us as close to home. LeBron goes and plays in Golden State. Yeah, it's not necessarily close. Like, we're talking a majority of the state of California, and it's a large state, but it's the closest decision to home. Like, I don't know that they're moving out of L.A. if LeBron's playing in Golden State. I don't know that they're probably going to be on a road a lot in whatever LeBron's final season is anyway, probably going to a lot of these games, being there, being supportive. So yeah, imagine they're going to be traveling as it is and they'd rather just stay there. Like, to me, that is Golden State taking the advantage, even though this is home at the end of the day. Like, I'm not saying that the Cavs are, you know, bottom of that list by any means. I just don't know that they're at the top of it either. Let's go back out of the phones. Thomas is in Shaker. What's going on, Thomas?
Hey, okay. So, first of all, what's up, Drake? I hope you're doing well. First of all, let me say this. I think that there are some disadvantages that the Cavs have. One, I just don't think LeBron has a relationship with these new Cavs. Like Jalen Tyson saying what he said, I think that was a negative feather because you remember Kevin Love, who's really good friends with LeBron, immediately tweeted, this is supposed to be Donovan's team, but they're struggling against Toronto. He didn't hesitate to tweet that.
Yep.
And, you know, so it's just small stuff like that. So I do think that there's, like you said, there's like a friendship click. But I think basketball-wise, I still think basketball-wise, Cavs give LeBron the best chance to win a championship because the 76ers, they just put that together, and the 76ers still have a lot of problems. So we don't know how well that's going to match together. And Joel Embiid, he's a walking injury. So we really don't know how that's going to work together. And Miami don't have the same point guards that we have. So I do think that we have the best chance to we give LeBron the best chance to win. Plus, we've been a perennial playoff team for the last, what, 4 or 5 years. And we only went 3 years of being bad without LeBron, so we know how to run good basketball team. So I can see both sides of it. I still think we have the advantage, but I can definitely see the negative.
Yeah, and that's a big thing for me, Thomas, and I appreciate the call. I mean, the big thing for me is sitting here, and like I can't ignore the fact, and it's really easy to put on the wine and gold colored glasses when it comes to this conversation and want to think that the Cavs are the perfect place to be. We're also kidding ourselves if we think the Cavs are or the perfect location or the perfect team to absolutely land him. There are things that lean into negatives of this. I've tried to lay out a couple of them. There are things that don't line up or that could be, you know, detractors for LeBron. Doesn't mean you don't land him. Doesn't mean you're not in the, you know, pole position. Doesn't mean you don't ultimately get what you want. It just means there are positives and negatives, pros and cons, to I think everywhere where LeBron is looking right now, and the Cavs have their own. 216-474-0092. What do you feel like the Cavs are at the biggest disadvantage in? Which piece of criteria? You guys can chime in on that. Plus, All-Star Game just a short ways away for Major League Baseball. Are you excited for the Guardians that are involved? I'll give you my answer and why that is coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. And the most pressing thing said by our station's guests today, coming your way at 8 o'clock with the station buzz. But we're talking a little bit about the LeBron side of things, the criteria in which you feel like the Cavs are at the biggest disadvantage. And again, I do feel like it is the individual connection standpoint at this point in time. I just don't know that you have an individual connection. And I'm not saying that, you know, Philly is probably somewhere along that same boat. I pointed to the only relationship that it really feels like LeBron has over there being, I mean, just a clutch sports kind of tie-in with Tyrese Maxey. I'm sure they know each other because of that. I haven't seen them hang out, you know, in any way because of it. But you do have a direct connection already made there. But you're probably somewhere in the similar boat. Like, again, LeBron knows James Harden. He knows Donovan Mitchell. I just don't know that they're the greatest of friends, you know, sitting in this entirety. And when we talk about this conversation, it's just in a really odd spot, right, when we talk about it. And I feel like you are at a disadvantage at some point, and you have to be able to be willing to admit that, even if you do still think that at the end of the day, you know, the Cavs end up with LeBron. Real quick, let's go out to the phones. Bob is in Columbus. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, how you doing, Jake? Good to hear your voice, and I always listen, and the radio is always on 92.3.
I appreciate
here in Columbus,
that.
Ohio.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, you know, I got to go real quick. I got to go way back to last year, mm-hmm. and I remember a conversation you were having with someone in the studio that you said you don't have AC in your car.
Hey, this
and
is
I'm
correct.
Thinking to myself, oh my God, it is so freaking hot out, and it's hot down here. And, you know, I work in car service every day for 30 years. I was like, you know, if I would live closer, I'd offer you assistance in getting your AC work done in your car. But, you know, I just wanted to throw that out to you.
Well, thank you very much. If I ever find myself down in Columbus, I'll definitely.
You know, you let me know.
I'll let you know. I know where I can go.
Yes, you do. So I want, you know, LeBron, you know, is he, you know, I just turned 69. Mm. So. LeBron, you know, Father Time catches up with you at some point. I'm here to tell you, it happens. So at some point, he's just not going to be able to play even like he thinks he can now because it just happens. So is he at best? Is he a bench player at this point? You know, where is he going to go? he can't start and he can't play for a long time. So Cleveland's his best place. I think they're going to announce that he's just going to come to Cleveland and he's going to wind up in whatever his farewell tour is, and that's what it's going to be. Sounds like a winner.
All right. I like it, Bob. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for the kind words and the nice stuff.
That's all I got for you. Have a great evening.
You too, Bob. Appreciate it a lot. Now I know where to go. If I'm going to Columbus, I know to reach out to Bob. And AC is still broken, so.
That might be worth the drive when it cools off a little bit. Maybe not in this weather, but when it cools off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the construction we got going around. I mean, the 2-hour drive to Columbus probably turns into like 2.5, 3. And especially when it's 90 out. I mean, the car is miserable right now, but. Listen, if it's a little bit colder, I might have to go find Bob. If I know I can, I get maybe just a little friends and family discount. I would never take anything for free. I can't do that. But I'm not opposed to a good friends and family discount. I'll take that. I'll take the air conditioning being fixed. So I'll definitely have to reach out to Bob. But, I don't think LeBron's a bench player at this point. But I do think that it is worth noting, like when we talk about Cleveland, and I think this is where Philly and Cleveland have a very similar advantage as well, is when we talk about LeBron not being on the, you know, he can't go out there and play in a regular season game and be playing 35, 38 minutes a night. Like, that's just not where LeBron is at in his career. You're going to see plenty of games off, and it's still starting caliber. He's still going to be out there. He's still going to be in the starting lineup, but it is. Hey, we want you playing those 38 minutes tonight when we get to the playoffs, and we want to make sure you're ready to go out and play those 38 minutes tonight, right? Go out there and give me everything you have in all of the playoff games, if that means not giving me everything you have during the regular season. Like, the Cavs have the regular season covered. They're a great regular season team. There's no argument. I mean, every single year they find themselves in the top four of the East. They have found themselves at the top one of the East. They're more than capable. It's the get to the playoff time, which I think Bob makes a really good point. All right, we're going to get back to talking plenty of the LeBron stuff coming up here later in the show. But I do want to get a pulse, right? All-Star game coming up in just a little bit here for Major League Baseball. And I want to know whether or not everyone's actually excited for the Guardians that are playing in this game. You have three representatives, right, ranging from ages 23 to 27. And in that order is Travis Pezzana, Parker Messick, Cade Smith. Because I've said it, you guys know, I'm baseball first. I grew up playing baseball. I love the sport more than anything. I still don't find myself excited for the All-Star game with the Guardians in it. Like, to specifically watch them, I do not find myself interested in, like, dialed into, oh, what are the Guardians going to do tonight? I feel like I should be. This is a point where I feel like I should be really excited. Because it's not just, oh, well, Jose Ramirez is in the All-Star game. Of course he's in the All-Star game. And I don't need Jose to go out and prove me anything. I don't need to go see him play on the biggest scale. Because I know Jose's the best player that in my lifetime has ever walked through this city. And he's treated essentially as a god. So I already know what Jose is. I don't need to see him on that scale. These are guys I feel like I should be excited about this for, right? Travis Pezzana getting, not even to start the year, getting the All-Star nod. That should be something that is still celebrated, but it should be something I feel like I'm really amped up for. And I don't know if the majority of this is just, we have two pitchers, and at max, I'm going to see two innings worth of Guardians pitchers play. And even then, I'd be more scared about my pitchers going out and pitching in the All-Star game than not. And then Travis Pezzana, I get what? Maybe two at-bats out of the guy? Like, if we're lucky, we're going to see him have two at-bats in this game. Probably he's not the starter at second base, so he's not going to come in until a little bit later. He's not going to have that opportunity to jump into the game, come right out of the gate, face, you know, the starter. And even then, we are at a spot, and maybe this is just where Major League Baseball has gone. I mean, there were times even in recent years where we talk about, oh, facing the National League is just something you don't get to see. Like, if they're going to go out and play Paul Skeens, it's no guarantee that I see Paul Skeens in a calendar year. And even now, it's no guarantee that I see him in a calendar year. But I know, like, as soon as we get out of the All-Star break, you're playing the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think if I'm not mistaken, you are likely to see Paul Skeens in their rotation following the All-Star break. I already know what that looks like. Right? If I want to see them go out and face, pick your pitcher inside of the National League. Shohei Ohtani, yeah, there's a decent shot that when they play the Dodgers, I'd see him face Shohei Ohtani. And obviously I don't get that because they played the Dodgers at the beginning of the year this year, and Pezzana wasn't on the roster yet, but I get to see Shohei pitch. I get to see Shohei play baseball. I already have all of these things in my arsenal that I just cannot get excited for. And it still feels like when we talk about All-Star games comparatively to the Pro Bowl and the NBA All-Star game, Baseball is still the one that is the most competitive and has it right. You do not get guys out there playing at, you know, a quarter speed and not giving any effort. I'm not saying they're digging out there like it depends, their legs depend on it and going out there and playing, but I still think you get guys playing pretty hard. You still get guys trying just about as much as they can and as much as reasonable for any All-Star game. Even if we go back to the olden days of the NBA All-Star game or the Pro Bowl where guys were giving more effort, it usually was not 100%. Usually it wasn't guys going out there and giving their all. Injury was still a risk. There was still something to this that was, hey, you know, I am not legitimately playing for, I mean, everything right now. I'm going to go out there and have fun. I'm going to go out there and give it my all, but it's not like I'm in game seven of the finals. We've obviously transitioned so far away from that, but I still find myself finding it difficult to be drummed up. And I don't know if this is a Guardians-related issue just because of the players you have involved, the fact that two of them are pitchers. You might not even see Cade Smith tonight. You'll probably see Parker Messick, but there's a decent shot you just don't see Cade. Or if this is a Major League Baseball All-Star problem that we have in its entirety. I mean, Michael, are you excited for the Guardians playing in the All-Star game tonight? Anything amped up for you tonight?
Not really.
Yeah, Dave Boehm, anything? Excited for the Guardians?
I mean, I want to keep up like with what they do. I'm rooting for them. But yeah, not a lot of elation about it.
No. Yeah, like I'm going to throw it out on the TV. Like it's going to be in here. I'll be paying attention to it. I'll be like, oh, Parker's pitching. I hope he goes in through the inning scoreless. But I am going to have just about as much excitement as if I would have just sat here and turned on, you know, the box score on my laptop and checked in on it every once in a while, comparatively to, oh my goodness, look at who Parker Messick gets to go up against. Oh, I can't believe who Travis Bazan is. He got a single. Look at him go at 23. Like, I am just not going to get amped up.
Unless they have a must-see play. Bazana, yeah. Inside the park home run?
Yeah, like, I'd get juiced. It would be fun. It'd be exciting. But then I'd be like, hey, I couldn't just do that while we're actually playing the first half or the second half of baseball?
Touche.
Like, why didn't you do that then? Like, if Bazana goes yard, I'm going to be like, dude, channel a little bit of that when we get back from the All-Star game. And maybe this is a little jaded because if I'm not mistaken, like I remember during this time watching, I think it was Stephen Kwan last year. It came back here. He was in the All-Star game and then the injury continued to go on and like the handing was an issue and it was debated whether or not it was an All-Star game problem. The risk for injury is always sitting there. It is always something that is, I mean, consistently in my head of, do I actually have to worry about this? Do I have to worry about Bazana getting injured in this game? But yeah, it's going to be, you know, great for those guys. I hope they have a fantastic time. I hope they're excited about it. They should be. There is excitement for the fact that they're there and they were named to the All-Star game. But I just feel like, again, maybe it's just an All-Star jaded approach from every other sport as well. It's kind of all about the honor for me, and that's the only thing I care about. Like, yeah, Travis Bazan is now an All-Star. That's fantastic. I'm happy for Travis. I think it says really nice things about where he's heading and where he currently stands in the game today. Same thing for Cade, same thing for Parker. That's about where it ends for me. Congratulations, you are named an All-Star. It is a tremendous honor. That is something that should be celebrated in this city. That is something that people should be excited for. But when it comes to your actual performance in the game, Bazan goes out there and goes 0-for-2 with two strikeouts, I'll be like, ah. Shucks. Like, what a shame. I'll see you back here at the end of the week and get ready to play. Just be ready to be back on your P's and Q's when you get back. It's just really as far as it goes. And I just can't get juice for anything else. And I do. I almost feel bad about it. But there's just something lackluster about the performance. And even when we go back to, you know, Shane Bieber got the All-Star or the MVP for the All-Star game a couple years back. It's like, it was cool. I didn't really do anything all that spectacular also at the exact same time. And again, I want to hear from you guys. 216-474-0092. Are you excited for the Guardians in the All-Star game tonight? We'll get to some of your guys' calls and the most pressing things said by our station's guest today with the Station Buzz right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.